Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Please allow me to introduce myself. My name is Erich Möchel. I'm a journalist to the Austrian Broadcasting Corporation, ORF, and this is one of the side projects, journalistic side projects, we did as a team together with a research unit by Quintessence. It's those four people, Chris Jeitler, Adrian Dabrowski, Paul Böhm, and Sorcerer, who will present the workshop later. I will do a more common introduction to the matter, how it came, what is the matter of our inquiry, and where the data from. First of all, the effort, data mining the NSA, what we did until now was very little, in fact, of data mining by machines per se. Data mining has been done until now mainly in the brains, in our five brains, to put and select the right questions, because of the, as far as the material is concerned, we're in possession of, people don't speak openly. So you can't go with a machine that easily to find any of their real intentions, because they behave tactically. What we have in fact before us is not a lecture on the big bad wolf NSA, because all we have learned from our analysis until now, this agency, as far as technology is concerned, there's not much discussion about their importance, but about their real influence in U.S. politics and in interior politics, I think they are grossly overestimated. They are just one agency amongst many, and they are in bitter rivalry, what we learned from the list, with the FBI, of course, and in first hand now, the Department of Homeland Security, that with the translation Ministerium für Heimatschutz, this sounds a bit strange in our ears, but it's American reality. So let's go to the heart of the matter immediately. The materials we have is the archives of the Biometrics Consortium. It was never extremely secret, it was semi-public, because the NSA had reason to do that, and the archive started in 1994, and the list is still going on. In the beginnings, I'll tell you later what it contains, and then data that have still to be merged with those. It's 1 gigabyte until now, could be the double within a few months from biometrics related conference events. So there is roughly the same amount from biometric standardization groups, which is mainly technical papers, but you always find some interesting names in the sessions protocols, people we know from the list, people we know from other sources. So what is the Biometrics Consortium? The Biometrics Consortium can be described best to look at the list of its sponsors. This is the last conference of the Biometrics Consortium held this fall. You see over 90 speakers, industry, government, and academia. And these are the sponsors. National Biometric Security Project, which is it's described as a non-profit organization to further the development of secure biometrics and to give standards, to define standards. There is the biometrics at the Department of Defense, and there is the Institute of West Virginia. This is one of the, there are, let's say, two U.S. universities that are deeply involved into these circles. It's the University of West Virginia, and it's San Jose University. We'll see that later. There is a National Science Foundation, and you see here, American National Standards Institute. What the engagement of the, as far as the engagement of the NSA is concerned, it is the word standards that trigger. Don't let us forget, this was started, the project was started in 1994. In 1994, the NSA was not in a very good condition. Everybody of the analysts agrees that there were grave problems at the NSA from the beginnings of the 90s when the amount of data started to rise. So the NSA tried to find other ways, fields and means to be represented. And to my own astonishment when I found it, the Biometrics Consortium in 1994 was the first event ever the NSA went public with. In the beginning, it was less than semi-public, and we'll turn now to the history of the list. The list started humbly in 1994. It was set up on a listserv located in Fort Meade, North Carolina. By 1994, the lists had about 400 subscribers. We did get that from the postings of the list. Of course, we are not in possession of all subscribers ever to the list, because we only got those people who posted to the list. There were some, quite many of them in 10 years, who got caught, let's say, by our eyes, thanks to Windows, because they had their out-of-office replies on, and they never posted to the list otherwise. So you see, Windows can help you. It was pretty helpful. We found all those Oracle people. They never posted to the list. We found them with automatic replies. And some companies, I'll show you later why it did never show up publicly on the list, were on the list, but we just know it from auto-response. So the next point is, it started in 1994. What did the NSA want? Very easy. Image and publicity first within the apparatus, then they went even more public. So, it was one man, it was a group of about four people, not more of them, that was allowed to talk to the public and to speak in the name of NSA. Nobody ever is allowed in the NSA to do that, except for the Director General. Nobody else. There is virtually no real information policy. And it was this group of people, I show you the heads, started the list as well as the website of the NSA was built there, and this was all on the North Carolina Supercomputing Center that might be known to some of you as the home of SA Linux. In fact, the guy who is responsible for this biometrics consortium list at the NSA is the same guy responsible for the publication of SA Linux. This is just another public effort for an agency who has quite a lot of problems with fundings from government. So let's see what we have here about the National Supercomputing Center. This is the home of the Biometrics Consortium mailing list. And the funny thing is, I can show you how they set up, there is a thread in the mailing list, how they set up the first NSA web page. It was published around that time, 1995. And everybody was astonished that the NSA sported a web page. No such agency, but the web presence. So, let's see. On this national supercomputing center in North Carolina, there were four WITs. The names are Jeffrey Dunn, Joseph B. Campbell, a lady named Lisa Allier, and some other people who did not exactly work for the NSA at that time. There were no declared NSA people, but they had strong ties to the NSA. So what happened later? 1994. The list is up. Fuck. Sorry. 1994, the list was up. It was founded by Joseph B. Campbell, and if you take a look at this excerpt of his biography, he was the chair of the biometric consortium. What do we understand about, if we hear the word biometrics, iris, fingers? We don't think about voice, but the NSA has voice data. The NSA does not have that many photographs or fingerprints. They have voice. Why? Because they collect signals intelligence. It's that easy. So the NSA's intention to play a leading role in the biometrics consortium was to get voice recognition and especially their voice profiles. They started to collect them in the early 90s. It's you can imagine it's a hash like any other hash, but this is from characteristics of your voice, and you can store it on any digital storage medium. This is their the standard they want to promote, and they tried to promote in the early years of the list, and this is one of their intentions that was not fulfilled until today. They ran into troubles, and this was one of them. Everything started to turn from the beginning until 1996 into the direction of iris and fingerprints, and there was always poor Joe Campbell bringing up, oh, voice recognition, come, there is another meeting, take part, this is the technology of the future, and this is the best. But the list would not follow him. And members on the list, I can show you a short excerpts from the first years, what kind of addresses were on this list. We will do all this in detail in the workshop. I just give the overview now. It would look like this. Ah, that's not good. Let's open it in VI. Here we are. This is a small selection from the .mil posters on the list. And you see here, Afterlife, NCSC MIL, and Alpha NCSC MIL. These are the basic public NSA servers, but you see quite a lot of US Army divisions there as well. What kind of people do you think will be on the list? It will be those people who have the strongest ties, either the strongest ties to the NSA within the other sections of the Army, or they are security, high-ranking security personnel that might be in not so close contact in the NSA, with the NSA, but defense intelligence agency people, who are as well rivals of the NSA. To some extent, there are bitter rivalries among all these. And of those, amongst those, we found just very, very few, non-military addresses in the first during the beginnings of the list. We found a few other government entities that were interested to take part in standardizing biometrics. And after a while, you saw companies like IRISCAN, all those high security suppliers to the high security centers of the NSA were on the list then. By 1996, there was the first British institution appeared on the biometrics consortium mailing list. Then came British Telecom, which is very interesting because they seem to be everywhere where those things like this are going on. You will unexpectedly always find British Telecom. You can now guess maybe why, and if that might be that some other people might be around with a British Telecom ticket that are not British Telecom at all. So let's see what happened thereafter. The official goal of the NSA was establishing a nationwide security and testing center for biometrics in order to standardize biometrics. Their intention was to standardize it because they want to standardize everything they have their hands in. And they want to be in amongst the top participants in discussion of that. The biometric consortium nowadays is chaired by Fernando Podi of the National Institutes of Standards and Technology and the chief identification guy of the NSA, Jeffrey Dunn. These are the two co-chairs, and they don't hide it on the web. They show it. So, you see, this was always planned by the NSA as an effort that should go further public, but controlled by them, by nobody else. So, here we are with the here we are again at the history. I just rushed through now. The British National Physics Laboratory, and it was back in 1995. It was part of a EU project the British tried to pursue. The British have other interests than the NSA on the list. The British are virtually all in favor of IRISCAN because it's a UK-developed technology. Until now, the one and only main patent is on IRISCAN, belongs to a member of the biometric consortium list. He's called John Dogman, and he was crowned a sir for his invention of the basic iris scan methods. So this is bureaucrats.mils, and you see the turning point already started in 1995. The two NSA guys have to go to the NSA is definitely in control of this list. Nobody else can do anything there because it's their own. And they get fundings for it, limited. In 1995, they already had to go to the FBI and to hold biannual conferences then, to hold the biannual conference in Quantico. The FBI never paid a dollar for this project, but they started to take over the project to some extent as the fingerprints proceeded. In 1996, the thing was still running on NSA infrastructure, and these are the network security guys. Two or three times the mailing list exploded with bounces. People complained. And then the NSA guys showed up and say, yeah, sorry, thing shit happens, and we'll upgrade the list now. This was it was amazing how in which a dilettantic way a few things were done by security professionals, that we should get the list and so. Good. You've heard enough now to understand that the list changed its character after a while. There were more and more biometric vendors on it. The military posted less and less. The NSA lost somewhat the grip on the list because nobody wanted to discuss voice recognition. Everybody on the list mailed about prints and irises and again prints and irises. The Quintessence Hackers will show you a distribution of the themes on the lists in the following workshop. But they didn't want to give up this position. And so they got some funding, and to establish their goal. And the goal was the establishing of an independent, biometric independent, in their opinion, because they see themselves as independent. They see themselves as neutral. They present themselves as neutral, and they say, trust us, as if they were God. This is the image they want to convey to people. Trust us. We'll handle this, and we don't invade your privacy because we don't have any interest. Things started, were still going well, because on the other hand, there was never more funding than they had, so from 1997 on they could just do one conference event every year and entertain, well, have the list and discuss, do public work, but there was no money for real-life projects to fund something. There was some money, and this was used for that. It was used by, you can say, it's NSA-affiliated organizations, at least. They propagate the same goals as the NSA. This is where is it? Ah, here. This is the National Biometric Security Project. The leader of this project is one of the first members on the list, and he was for sure the first member, one of the first members who was in a non-military position at that time. This guy is called, to make no mistake, this guy's name is called John Sidlatz, who runs this project. He's very much in. Well, it starts with national. You understand what I mean? This means domain. This means in most of the cases domain of the NSA and not of any other agency. This guy did not allow his own staff to post to the biometrics consortium mailing list in the late 90s and in 2000 because it was not secure. And somebody like me, who is no hacker but more or less a technical dilettante, could download it and with the help of others extract it. This is about what you see, which people we could identify. This guy was on the list from 1994, and he was the former CEO of the company IrisCan. So you see people constantly changing, and this will play a role in our workshop, changing from military posts to posts in the private industry and back. So with 10 years of data, we already can start tracking careers, how things work out, how the agencies send people with a reason into civil society and get them back afterwards. because they are still their people. So let's see, let's jump to the year 2004 now. In the year 2004, I've been on this list since 2003 or so, and I didn't care much. I just wanted to know what themes are in discussion, and it was always funny to me that the NSA would run such a list, because they would discuss just fingerprints all the while. Nobody discussed NSA-related themes, but they ran the list. They ran the consortium. They're in charge. I couldn't make it out what was going on then. So we downloaded the list, and I tried to get some intelligence first from those who were on this list. It's always good to ask people first before you do something they wouldn't like. Ask them first whether they couldn't answer your questions. And to my astonishment, they did. My means was posting this message to the list. I hope you can read it. I can tell it in a few words. The title is Biometrics Consortium Members List, Personal Data Processing Legal Notice. So, as a good citizen, I informed them about their rights, because these were data concerning names, addresses, telephone numbers from 10 years. And so there are Austrian data protection laws, and there is the EU data protection directive. So I stuck with the law and told them the list was downloaded, and some whereases, as they are used to from their own courts, that those data will be processed, kept available, and I tried to imitate their style a bit to get them hot. So, data are currently indexed and structured, and here there is the information. If any restriction should apply to the upcoming phases, everybody whose personal data are being processed may file a request at the Federal Chancellor's office in Austria. At the Data Protection Commission. And I tried to do a few things more, because the intention was, well, a security test to the NSA. How well were they prepared to somebody who comes in and aims at InfoWar? So here's a bit something else. List members who want to request his or her personal data be excluded from the process may do so by contacting a local data protection or civil liberties NGO. All the organizations will be informed in time. Here is a list of NGOs where they could turn up and tell, no, I don't want to have my data included. And then I asked them, please abstain from emailing to my business address, as your email will be processed in the Windows network environment. And additionally, this provoked a major threat, I can tell you, on the list. And additionally, I used a PGP key when the NSA to sign all these messages, because as you know, as soon as a foreign key turns up in the NSA's data processing system, the supervisors come in and say, who is using that key? NSA members and other Secret Service members are not allowed to use any cryptography except this cryptography they get from the company, from the agency. They are not allowed to use any key, and especially, I knew that, in some fear that secure signatures could hide some data to be smuggled out of the systems. So I don't know if this is true, but I heard that, and this was, well, I got immediately answers from the NSA guys on the list, what I was going to do if I was to republish the archive, and then the NSA started quarreling with the other agencies why the list was so insecure. And then John Siedlitz came up and told people why he didn't allow his own stuff to post to this list. So I never thought that it might be that easy to create havoc amongst Secret Service professionals. And here is some of the answers. Jim Wayman, he's at the San Jose University, the leading person. This is what he sent to the list about. The history of the list. I wanted to know what had happened. So he did me the favor. And edit. No, where are we? Yes, here we are. Recent criticism of the biometric consortium. Because then all the biometric companies turned up and complained. The biometric consortium would not do enough for them, and the NSA guys responded, we are only in this consortium as the biometric industry is too weak to raise the necessary fundings itself. So there was these arguments also going on, and with every argument I learned more about the real. And the point of the matter is, they lost in three or four of the main points. They would not achieve them. First, they established the National Biometric Security Test Center. You find everything at the Quintessence website at quintessence.org. You can click it, and this will be enlarged. We just launched it today for this Congress. The National Biometric Security Test Center has been an archive now for the past 4 years because fundings expired in 2000 and were not renewed. So Jim, who was the head of this, had to find another job at the university, and the NSA again did not have the power to was not given the favor that they would officially run the controlling and supervision of any biometric system that is run by US government, whether it be military or civilian. They would not allow them this, and this was the first aim. The establishment of the test center was achieved, and after 4 years it was closed. And in 2001, as I can tell you, in the years to 2003, there was just one company that drew off all the fundings of the biometrics market, because things had changed in the meantime. By 2001, there was the start of the Department of Homeland Security, and the first thing the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI did is to put whatever they had in fundings into the modernization of the FBI's fingerprint database that contains now 18 million data sets, and it has become the central fingerprint archive of the USA. There is a centralized fingerprint archive already in the USA, and it's the FBI's IAFIS, and there was never a cent of funding, of any more funding, for this biometrics pressure group. They simply couldn't do more than they had done before. So they are now on a line that is pretty defensive. They keep the biometrics consortium because they can, they have one man in there. I will present you now. He turned up. He's the master of ceremonies on the list now, and he turned up, if you care to take a look. His name is Henry J. Boitel. He's a lawyer, he says. He's New York-based. We know he studied at Notre Dame University. He should be close to 65 years. Very educated man. Very, with slight irony, always writing with slight irony. He works as an attorney, and we tried to find his history, but we got stuck around the beginnings of 1990. And back in the list again, we found a posting of him when somebody had asked him what he had done before. He said he was the CEO of a British naval communications company that was bought by Cable and Wireless, and he did not even name it. So you can imagine what happened in 2001. The list, the FBI started to take over and over. They now preside the biometrics conferences without paying. Mr. Arthur Hutchinson, subsecretary for the Department of Homeland Security, chairs the biometrics consortium meetings. He's none of the no part of the NSA, but he's part of the opposite, and they have to invite him because it's called biometrics consortium, and it's about fingerprints the NSA does not like or does not need in that. Now, on 12th September 2001, a guy who had been on the list for years and posted just once turned up and wrote the following letters. It seems to me that instead of engaging in should-haves and could-haves and jingoistic appeals, the NSA always doesn't like that, the members of this list can make so-and-so a constructive contribution to the border and airline security dialogue by discussion of certain biometric-related procedures that should be put into effect with appropriate civil liberties and privacy safeguards. This is a politician's voice. And obviously, if you take a look at his postings, he sometimes criticizes the biometrics consortium leading staff and the chair, who is NSA, but always in a way there's not enough funding and there's not enough initiative and there's not enough that, but in fact you're good guys and just do a bit more. That's his criticism. Everything else he writes is within the scope of the NSA thinking, what they propose. They say that doesn't think of a biometric technology that does not invade privacy, such as giving your fingerprint. Having your voice recorded as an example. This is the meaning, and it takes a long, long reading of postings of single persons to understand what is behind the meaning. Because they always tend to use the same phrases. And if you can start to identify the phrases, you know they were told to use these phrases, and so you can analyze them and see discover the ideology behind it, which is not told openly. Those people are masters in writing long, long sentences, conveying their thinking without really saying what they think, but giving you some words to understand what they expect. It's a very strange world and pretty far off of the way of we communicate amongst each other. You must know those people do this in a 30,000 people company agency. If you know Siemens, or if you know other big companies, and you know what happens inside there, between the different departments and branches, you will have the same and worst amongst the military bureaucracy of the US. Because They always have talk about the slim state and slim government and less people in government and bureaucracy. We don't like government bureaucracy. If you look at the military bureaucracy in the States, this is much worse than any government bureaucracy. There are whole departments there doing things, starting projects, getting fundings, and if you read the list of the Department of Defense, they have a daily mailing list. They you can read every day the new contracts they gave to contractors, how much money they spent every day. It's an amazing list. It's an amazing list. It's 10 items every day. New contracts to Lockheed, new contracts to those, Raytheon and Psyche and all those. And it's every day millions of dollars every contract. So you see, and they just spend it like this. It goes out like this, and the NSA is part of that. So let's finally come to one thing the NSA never liked, and that was one of the incentives to start the list. Until 1994, a company called Morpho started reorganizing the FBI starter base. By 1994, it was discovered then that this company was initially French, and there was a French mother company called Morpho. And in 1994, the French state-owned company, SACEM, took over Morpho Incorporated, and they took over the American daughter company as well. And so we are today in the FBI is in the situation that the FBI cannot do anything with 70 million or 80 million, nobody knows the exact number, it rises every day, data sets, and they are all read in by a SACEM system and treated with proprietary algorithms of SACEM Morpho. So the French state, that is not at too good terms with the US, indirectly has a hand in the FBI's identification system. I would say everybody should understand here immediately what's going on, but the crazy thing I found during all those years of researching in those matters, FBI and other agencies, they simply don't care. They have a running system and that's enough for them. They don't think twice about it. It's the same, it's exactly the same thing they ran into with an Israeli company. I presented that here in 2000, who got more or less a monopoly on telecom wiretapping in the USA for the FBI. There was a scandal 1.5 years later after my first mentioning it, because those data were abused. They had access to all telecommunications data, because their own surveillance systems were built in there, and it was an Israeli company. Nobody controlled it in the USA. And I can't imagine that the NSA did like all that. Who would have security in their minds, and national security even. And so, to make things worse, SACEM Morpho drew off 80% of the world biometrics market in 2003. $350 million of estimated $500 million worldwide. You see, it's still a small industry. Were made by SACEM Morpho, and $350 million were paid by the FBI for the modernization of its database to a French company in 2003. The NSA really did not like that, because their own project ran into troubles, because all funding was drawn away from the biometrics consortium to the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI database. So they really were angry. And then something unusual happened to Sagem Morpho. They got kicked in the butt in Africa. Ja, ich weiß. Ich bin schon am Ende. It is the file is here, and it is this is the earliest example I could find. It was then on the BBC News and virtually on all world news. Here we are. Yeah. Here we are. By the beginning of, by mid-2003, the BBC had the story months later. It's just one example. By mid-2003, new stories started to break all over Africa about bribery by the French company Sagem Morpho to Nigerian officials. And it was not some Nigerian officials, but three ministers of the Nigerian government and two high-ranking officials. They got millions of dollars. And you know why? The National Nigerian ID cards. A $230 million project about. Sagem wanted to win that and obviously bribed half of the Nigerian government to get this contract. And nobody knows where the intelligence came from that the Nigerians were bribed. And you know whose speciality this is, whose agencies, which agency does that. Don't you remember what the official US answers were in 2000 around at the Echelon hearings in the EU Parliament? Do you about business espionage? What did they say? They said, look, this case of Boeing Airbus, you know, it's two known cases. Somebody who built a German windmill builder who lost his contract because somebody, a US company got it because there was surveillance on him. And the other one is Boeing and Airbus was accused of bribery. And they said, we just made this public because Airbus tried to play unfair and bribe people. And we will always make bribery public. This is what was officially said from US military. I think it was either the I don't remember exactly who said it, but it's an official position. And this is exactly the same. Half of the Nigerian government had to go, and Sagem suffered a serious throwback in Africa. This is a market of more than, Nigeria has 160 million people. You can imagine a national ID card system is fine business there. So I'll stop at this point. This is about the overview, and I'll show you exactly, without much comment, a last sheet. I got it back from an Austrian official source. Can anybody imagine which one I... I should think about my here we are. This is the Austrian at the Federal Chancellor's Office. It's the Data Protection Commission. Here is my number. They didn't give me one because the case was not clear if I was allowed to data mine the NSA archive or not, because they didn't know what I would publish then. But they considered the archive as public in a first, it's three pages. They considered the archive as being public, the archive of the mailing list. It's not really public. I just tell you, to close right now, you find related stuff at quintessence.org website. Just go there, it's on the front page. There is additional news now in the workshop, broken down in a completely different style. I just wanted to give you an image that there is no big bad wolf of an agency around. There are many of them around, and they are quarreling amongst each other, and we should use that. Thank you.